not the last thing Jesus said. We're just coming to the end of one sermon. All right, well, it is 11:30, and that means that we are live on Blog Talk Radio. And we're thankful for the listeners we have. We hope and pray we have listeners all over the world. We have listeners who listen in the Philippines, and many of them have left me messages and things on Facebook, and I just want them to know that we appreciate them. I don't have the physical time to get back to everybody, but I do want them to know that we love them, we're praying for them, and we're thankful that they're tuning in. Got listeners all over the world. Thankful for each and every one of them. And as we've gone through this message, I hate to be sound so redundant every week, but I do want to take you back and make you remember just who this was to. This message that he preached was not to the religious crowd of the day. This was not to anybody but those who were needy. They were needy people. They were needy because they had had physical afflictions all their life, some of them. And I'm assuming most of them probably that had those physical afflictions were the worst case you could find because they're looking for help. They're still looking for help. It would seem that they've probably gone to probably every doctor they could afford or their family could afford and found no help. And so they brought them to Jesus because they don't know where else to turn. Maybe they've heard that he's done miracle work. Excuse me. And then there are those who've been brought who are possessed with the devil. And their entire life they've been miserable because their life has been tormented by this devil. There are people today who don't even realize that there's a devil present in their life. There are people who we look at them and we say, man, they're messed up. Boy, that person's messed up. And we don't realize that there's a spiritual entity working in their life which is causing them to always be in a mess. Always stay down, always be defeated, always thinking the worst, always looking for an easy way out, always looking for a cheap thrill, always looking for something other than what they truly need, which is Jesus Christ. The devil's happy to keep you chasing after something that may not to everybody else seem harmless, but whatever it may be, if it'll keep you from coming to Jesus, the devil will be happy to keep you chasing after something. And these people have obviously chased after something their whole life, but now, to this day in particular that we're speaking of, when Jesus preached this message, and who knows, this may have happened over the course of 2 or 3 days. We don't know how long this message took. We don't know how long it was given. But on this particular day, they found what they were looking for. And the Bible says that he healed them all. Amen. You know what that means? That means he saved them all. I don't ever read in the Bible where he healed anybody he didn't save. Amen. So he's talked, and we don't have time to go back through the entire Sermon on the Mount, but we can just briefly touch some high points. And Jesus has talked about how to be blessed in God's kingdom. He's talked about us being the light of the world, the salt of the earth. He's talked about how Scripture will be fulfilled. He's talked about how we're to love our enemies. He's talked about how we're not to be hypocrites, that we're not to try to fix everybody else but not look at our own self first, which is it kind of goes along with what we're talking about today. And then he went on and he talked about how to pray, how we're to pray. He talked about prayer. He talked about fasting. He talked about us not looking at this world as our home and not working to build up treasures here, but to lay up treasures in heaven. He told them how to always seek God first, to put God first in our lives, not ourselves, But that's what we're often want to do. We're often want to put ourselves first. We make ourselves our own little God. Can I ask you this question this morning? Do you think you're okay the way you are? Do you think you're all right? When you look in the mirror, you think, I'm okay. I'm all right. Do you look at yourself and think you're okay? You don't need to change? I think maybe some of us do. We think we're all right. We don't need to change. We're fine the way we are. Just tell me something good, I go home. But that's not the truth, folks. If we really could see ourselves the way God sees us. Now, keep in mind, if you're saved, I know God looks at you, he sees the blood of Jesus Christ cover you, and that's how come he doesn't send you to hell. But if you could see yourself the way you truly are, it would make you sick. The greatest man that the Bible says, the most upright, the most perfect man that the Bible talks about is Job. Job, and what did the Bible say? What did Job say about himself in the Word of God? He said, I abhor myself. See, when he finally got a glimpse of who God was, he said, I abhor myself. That means I hate or I loathe myself and repent in dust and ashes. He was humbled as far as a man could be humbled. He finally saw, you know what, my good is not good enough. The best I have to offer would never measure up to God. And God allowed Job to go through all those troubles in order to make him see that even though he was a good man, as good as a man could be on his own, and I know he loved the Lord, but his best didn't measure up. And he went through those trials to prove that, number one, yes, he could not measure up, but number two, that God would not move under him. The whole book of Job is there to prove what I'm going to talk to you about this morning, that when our lives are built upon Jesus Christ, then our lives are truly unmovable. Let come what may, and things are going to come your way. Troubles are going to hit, and they're going to hit hard, and they're going to knock the wind out of you. If anybody ever tells you you get saved and no more troubles come your way, once you're saved, everything's wonderful. Listen, it is wonderful in that I'm saved. It is wonderful that I know that I have a home in heaven. It is wonderful in the fact that I have a Savior and I have all the blessings that God has promised to the children of God. Yes, I have all the promises of the Word of God, but don't think for one second that it's going to be easy, because it's not. It's going to be hard. You're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. You're going to go through the fiery trials of earth. Thank God when we leave this world, those trials end. Thank God when we're in His presence, there'll be no more trials and testing. But God is allowing us to go through that trial and testing to prove something. What we have inside of us or don't have. This is not about me this morning. This is about you. You. Just you. As if you were the only one here, as if you were the only one in the world this morning, and God Himself is speaking to you from His Word and trying to get you to look at yourself. Again, I don't want to say this morning anything that's going to make anybody that's saved question their salvation. If you are saved, if you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, then you are a child of God. Nothing can change that. But I dare say there are people who believe up to a point that they are saved, and then God shows them, you've not really trusted me. Yes, you know this is my word. Yes, you know this is my church. Yes, you know that these are my people you're around, but they can't get you there. It's up to you to come to me. There are people all over the place who are religious, but they're lost. And we're going to look this morning, and hopefully the Lord will speak to us and show us some things. If nothing else, maybe we get a good look at ourselves. It'll jolt us awake spiritually. Maybe it'll jar us from our slumber. And like the Lord tells us, to awake. It's high time to awake out of our slumber. Because you know what? The Lord's coming soon. All anyone has to do is look at our world and they can see that the Lord is coming soon. This country we live in is in shambles. This country is falling apart at the seams. You've got hatred. You've got racism. You've got sexual sin on every hand. You've got perversion everywhere. You've got a world that's threatening one another with nuclear weapons. You've got chaos everywhere. This world is going to come apart. This world is going to be overtaken by the Antichrist. This world is doomed. But if you're in Christ Jesus, you're not. And I thank God for that. I thank God that I'm in Christ Jesus this morning. All right, Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to read the last six verses of chapter 7, and that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. So turn there in your Bible, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 29. And the Bible says in Matthew 7, 24 through 29, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not," see, there's both kinds in that crowd. "Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." Let's pray. Father, Lord, again, I come before your presence this morning. Come before your throne. And Lord, I put myself, Lord, in your hands. I throw myself on your mercy, and I beg you for the power and the filling of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray this morning that, Lord, you'd work through me. Lord, let me be your vessel. Father, I pray you'd pour out the word of God through me, Lord, the truth that folks need to hear this morning. Lord, I pray, Father, for Holy Ghost power, Lord, to speak the truth. Lord God, I pray that the truth have a changing power, changing work in us. Lord, that you would jolt us awake spiritually. Lord, that we'd be startled awake from our slumber. And Lord, that we would begin to be careful, to comb through our lives, to look and see what's there that, Lord, that causes you displeasure in us, that causes our fellowship to be broken off. Lord, that you'll have us to examine ourselves. And Lord, look and see what we trust and what we don't. Lord, look and see who we serve and who we don't. Lord God, help us to see ourselves the way we truly are. And Lord, cause us to want to change. Cause us to come to you for that change. Cause us to lean on you for that change. Lord, for you to be that change in us. Lord, to change to your will and away from ours. Father, I pray you'd help. I pray, Lord, everybody in this room would listen closely. And Lord, everyone out there on the airwaves of the internet, Lord, I pray, Father, that, Lord, everyone that hears it would receive it, Lord, the way it's intended. Father, I just pray your blessing on us now. Please bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The first thing I notice in this, well, Jesus is likening something to something. So that's really, it's a parable in a sense. It's an illustration that he's given, an example, a metaphor, however you want to say it. And he says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine." And then he goes on in verse 26 to say, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine." So everybody's hearing it. But one of them's hearing it, and it's making an impact, because one hears and does something. One hears and doesn't do it at all. So, first of all, the first thing I notice in this is that you've got to hear the Lord. Can I say it again this morning? There are people that come to church, they'll sit here, they'll look at me, they'll hear the words come out of my mouth, they'll land in their ears, but they're quickly forgotten. They don't land, they don't have an impact, they don't cause a response. You know, the Lord warns of that. Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 8, verse 5. We're here this morning to let God teach us. We're not here this morning just because it's the calendar day, Sunday. That's not really the reason we're here. We're here because, I mean, I can only speak for me, but we're here because we need something from God. Luke chapter 8, verse 5 through 18. Again, we're talking about hearing the Lord. The Lord said, he told them, he gave them a parable here in Luke chapter 8, and he said a sower went out to sow his seed. So he's out in the garden. He's going to plant the seed. He's sowing it. And the Bible said that as he sowed, so he's got his bag. You can picture him digging into that bag and getting out a handful of seed, and he's spreading it with his hand as he walks. He's sowing his seed. And the Bible says that some fell by the wayside. So it didn't land where he intended it to. It fell well over there off the beaten path. And he said, and it was trodden down. People walked on it, ground it into the pathway. And the Bible said, and the fowls of the air devoured it. The birds landed there, and they picked it up. And some fell on a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. I've seen that happen just planting tomato seed. Sometimes that seed won't get under the ground far enough, and it'll just jump up there on top of the ground. You'll be able to see that little taproot just kind of twirling around there on top of the ground trying to find a place, but it can't get a root in anything. And the Bible says as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. It didn't have anywhere to hang on to. And the Bible said, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And the other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know why he said that? Because a lot of people stand there and the words just go through one ear and one out the other, and they don't hear it. Right? A lot of times we do that. We do a lot of things. I heard a song the other day. I've heard it. It's a country song, and I heard it playing. And I hadn't really thought about the words to the song. I caught myself kind of, I knew the song, but I'd heard it for years and years and years, and I was kind of mumbling along with it while I'm doing my work. Wasn't thinking about what I was doing. And I go, what? What is that saying? And I realized that the song is singing about reincarnation. I ain't ever thought about it. The song's irrelevant. But I'd never listened to the words close enough to really let it register in my mind. They're singing about reincarnation. I said, man, I don't want to hear that song. Get that away from me. Even though it's people that I used to love to listen to, I don't want to hear that song. Listen, I finally got what the words were saying. But the very same way, when we're in church, a lot of times the Word of God just goes right past us and we never hear what it's saying. When you don't get what the Bible is saying to you, it's like you're ignoring Jesus. Can you imagine if you were standing in the presence, the visible presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's speaking to you and you're just ignoring him, doing your own thing? Would you do that? Absolutely you wouldn't. You'd tremble in his presence. Why don't we even care about it, his presence, when we come to meet together? This is church. Because the Bible tells us where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. So we're in his presence here. Well, anytime we meet together as a church, we're in his presence. Anytime those who are listening to this broadcast, they're listening, they're in his presence. We need to hear what God has to say. God's word is not just like the daily news. I mean, this is God speaking. We don't hear what he has. I mean, Jesus knew they heard his voice. He knew that they registered what he had said, but it didn't sink in. That's why he calls out, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Folks, listen, we've got to hear what God has to say. And the disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Why? Because the spiritually discerned. Listen, if you're a child of God this morning, there's no excuse for you not to know what God is saying. If you're a child of God, if you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, If your sins have been forgiven, God has put His Spirit within you in order to help you to understand the Bible. And when it's preached, God put it there so that you do have ears to hear. He said, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are they which hear. Now listen, those by the wayside over on the footpath, they are those that hear, and then cometh the devil. So they heard it. Maybe they're sitting in a church service. They heard it. But then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. How many lost people sit in church service and hear the gospel and they don't care? They don't hear it. They don't get it. They walk out lost just like they came in. That's what happens. They don't hear it because even though their ears heard the noise, it didn't register what they said. The devil stole it away before they ever had a chance to let it sink in and cause them to understand they were lost and they needed Jesus. So the Holy Ghost of God revealed them their need. Those are the ones where the seed fell by the wayside. They didn't hear it. And the Bible says, they on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. Oh, man, that's wonderful. Wow. And these have no root, which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. If it's easy and if it's all good and rosy, yeah, then we want it. But if we got to go through anything difficult for it, forget that. We don't want that. Listen, I'm telling you something. So again, the Lord never promised us a rosy bed of roses to get through this life. No, He let us know we'll be tested. But those He's talking about here, they want His salvation, but they're not willing to go through the trials of life. So it's not that big a deal to them. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they've heard go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Well, they heard the word of God, but you know what they loved? They loved themselves more than they loved God. They said the riches and the pleasures and cares of this life. So in other words, God is not really God to them because God can handle your needs. God can handle your cares. God can handle all those things, but yet they're not really dependent on God at all. They're dependent on themselves. They are their own God. And He said they bring no fruit to perfection. You know why? Because they never lift a finger to do anything for God. Why? Because they're too consumed with their cotton-picking selves. That's why. They're too infatuated with that image in the mirror rather than the Word of God and the God who wrote it and the God who made them and the God who created the world they live in and the God who gave them eternal salvation, offered them full and free, and they're so preoccupied with their own petty little selves that they cannot see that God is good and that they need Him. I'm not mad at you. I'm just telling you the truth this morning. That's what God's trying to tell us. He said, but that on the good ground. And by the way, they never bring forth fruit. What is fruit? What is the fruit of a Christian? The fruit of a Christian is another Christian. God told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Nobody out here deserves to go to hell until they've heard the gospel, amen, and reject it. I mean, yes, we've earned it. Yes, I'm not saying they don't deserve to go to hell. I misspoke when I said that. It's not that we don't deserve to go to hell because we're all sinners. Yes, if we got what we deserve, we'd all go to hell. But here's the thing. It's needless that we go to hell because Jesus has paid the price for sinners. Jesus has done what's necessary for people to be saved. Jesus has done all that's necessary. And so instead of being choked and bogged down, and yes, I know we live in the age of apostasy. Yes, I know we live in the age of the great falling away. I know that most people today could care less about what God said about anything. I know that most people today, they don't know Jesus. They just know His name. They have no idea who really Jesus really is. They just know that He's a guy in a robe, with long hair, who has a peaceful look on His face, and He's lily white and has blue eyes. That's not Jesus. It's a cartoon image that somebody has of Jesus. The real Jesus is not the idea we have we see in these little cartoon pictures of him. Jesus Christ, listen, Jesus wants you to understand that he saved you for a purpose. He saved you, and he not only did he give you a purpose, but he has a plan for you. And he has provisions for you. And he intends for you to let him live through you so that others might know him. And they can't know him if all they ever see is you. That's why folks don't bring fruit to perfection, because they're all about themselves. And then he said, verse 15, but that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. That those two words right there, with patience, are important, and we'll come back to that hopefully before we get to the end of this message. But you've got to hear him. Not let the devil steal things away from you. Not let yourself get caught up and when things get hard, throw everything away and say, you know, I can't count on God. He wouldn't let all this stuff happen to me. People get so, I hate to use the word, but they get butt hurt. That's what the term is. They get mad. They don't like the way God treated them. They stick their bottom lip out. God love me, he wouldn't let this happen to me. And they quit on church, they quit on God, they quit reading their Bible, they get bitter and hostile toward other Christians. Whether they were ever Christians to begin with, I mean, I don't know. Somebody like that, I don't believe they ever got it to begin with. If they ever got it, listen, Jesus is still there. He don't go anywhere. His presence is still there in their life. They'd be the most miserable people in the world if they just give up on God. God wants us to hear him. Now, and he went on to say here, and I'm going to read through verse 18. It says, he said, no man when he hath lighted a candle covereth it with a vessel. There's no point in it. Why would you light a candle and then stick a bowl over the top of it where nobody can see it? That's pointless. It's going to go out. And that's what he's talking about. Nobody gets saved just to not live for God. I mean, what's the point? I'm going to get my fire insurance. I'm going to heaven. There ain't nothing going to happen. Listen, you know. He goes on to say, or putteth it under a bed. Nobody does that. But setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter may see the light. That's what a candle's for. It's to light. Lighten things up where others can see. That's the point of being a believer. That's the point of being a Christian. If we have Jesus and we can show others that we have Jesus, and so that they can have Jesus. Because if all we do, listen, folks, if all we do is care about ourselves and nobody else and nothing else but us, then we're not shining anything to anybody. We're living a dark life and nobody can benefit from us. And listen, why would you live like that? If you got Jesus, why in the world wouldn't you share Jesus with somebody else? Why in the world wouldn't you let the world know that you have Jesus? He said, for nothing is secret which shall not be made manifest, neither is anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Listen, you can do what you want to, but it's going to come out what you truly are. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. You hear that? That's what Jesus said. Them words are in red. Take heed. Pay attention, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him it shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Again, there's people who walk the part, talk the part, try to live the part, but they ain't got it. There have been people who've gone to church their whole life and they never truly got saved. They just sat and heard it and they got numb to it. They told God no too many times, and they're numb to it. They can sit through it. They got no problem sitting through it, but they ain't got it. And God says, listen, whosoever hath not, that's talking about who don't have him. He sees, I thought they were a Christian. They were a good person. They did good works and all that. It seemed like it. But Jesus said, listen, just like the ones who say unto him in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and in thy name cast out devils and done many wonderful, miraculous works in thy name? And Jesus is going to say to them, I never knew you. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad if you're saved. But I do want you to understand this is real and this is serious, and we can't play being saved all our life and expect to get to heaven. You either have your sins forgiven, you have either been washed by Jesus Christ, he either lives in you or he does not. There's no middle ground. I wouldn't wait a second later. If I realized I wasn't saved, I'd throw myself on the mercy of God and I'd turn myself to Jesus and I'd say, Lord, please wash me clean, white as snow. I don't want to be lost one more second. Amen. I'm burdened about this, folks. I don't want anybody to go to hell around me. Amen. And say, you didn't tell me how to be saved. You didn't tell me for sure how to be saved. Listen, it's not hard to understand. Jesus died for you. Jesus will save you. But you know what? You got to hear him. And he said, you know, he that hears and is a doer. It's not just I hear it. Oh, I've heard it. I know all that. You know, I've heard people say, I know all that stuff. I've heard all that. You know what they're telling me? Shut up. I don't get involved. Don't you talk to me about it. Because I ain't going to. You know why they do that? Because they don't have him. You know why? You go any further with them, you're going to find out that. I don't want to talk about all that. Just hush. I don't want to hear all that. Yeah, there's a reason why. Be a doer of the word. Turn to James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Now, I say all that, and I'm not standing up here trying to tell you that I'm perfect and I've done everything right, because Lord knows I haven't. Listen, I've got a wonderful Savior who's a very forgiving Savior. But I can tell you this, because Jesus lives in me, I have a burning desire in my life for somebody else to get saved. I don't want anybody to die and go to hell. I don't want anybody to live a deceived life. I don't want anybody to spend their life live selfishly and forget that we're supposed to live for Jesus. I want you to have victory. I want you to know God personally. I want you to have his Holy Ghost power in your life. I want you to receive from the Lord what you need. I want you to walk in the comfort of knowing that he has you. He's got you. He can protect you. He can provide for you. He can take care of you. He can give you what you need. He can lead you where you need to go. He can use you dramatically in powerful ways. I want you to understand all that. But you'll miss all that if you're just living for you. Be a doer of the word. A doer. James 1, 19 through 27. Let's read that this morning. All right. He says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, not waiting for you to hush so I can talk. That's the way most of us are. We listen to find a place to talk rather than listen to hear. Let every man be swift to hear. Listen, slow to speak. Slow to wrath. In other words, we're not to have an attitude with people, especially when it comes to God. Some people, they get bitter toward God. The Bible says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So God's talking about our attitude. God expects us to be humble before him, not to come at him with an attitude, not to come at the things of God with an attitude. And shame on us if when it's church time we get, oh, I don't want to go to church. Listen, we ought to be thankful we get to go and come together. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you live in another part of the world, you can't do this unless you'll go to jail, or you'll be put in prison for who knows how long, or maybe you'll be killed for it. There's other places you can't do this. And we act like it's just it's no big deal. It's church. Oh, I got to go to church. I'd hate to stand before God with that attitude. I'd hate for God to stand before me and me have that attitude. Man, it's going to be, I fear the judgment seat of Christ. Because I know that there were times in my life where I felt that way about church. It's like, oh, I sit through another sermon. You know what? I wasn't loving on the Lord at all at that time in my life. I was in rebellion. I was doing my thing. I was living for me. I was very selfish at that time in my life. And yeah, I was a teenager. I'm going to tell you something. We need to sit and say, Lord, whatever it is you want to speak to me, I want to hear it. I can remember being a child, and I remember sitting in church and saying, Lord, when am I going to understand all this stuff? Because I felt like sometimes it was just going over my head and I wasn't hearing it. And I'd look around at my mom, I'd look around at my grandpa, I'd look around at other people that I knew, and I'd see it on their face that they're getting what's being said, and I'm like, Lord, I want to get it. And it wasn't that I didn't get salvation. I knew I was saved, but I didn't get what it meant to truly live for God. And I struggled to understand what it meant to truly live for God until I was up in my 20s that God finally got hold of my life. And I understood what it meant to live for God. I finally got to the end of my doing things my way and understand that I was going the wrong direction with my life and realized it's time for me to shut up and listen to God. It's time for me to pay attention to what He has to say instead of what I have to say. So He said, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And here is, listen to what He says. He says, wherefore, lay apart, and that means get it away from you, all filthiness. There's plenty of filthiness, folks. Everywhere all around us, there's filthiness. On that internet, there's plenty of filthiness. On Facebook, there's plenty of filthiness. In people's conversation, there's plenty of filthiness. On the television, there's loads of filthiness. In movies, there's loads of filthiness. Loads of it. And He said, lay it apart. Get it away from you. And superfluity of naughtiness, all that excess naughtiness that's going on everywhere. Folks, if somehow I could put us in a time machine, and I know we don't realize how naughty and filthy we are, but if I could put us in a time machine and take us back in time 50 years, you'd be just shocked at how bad we truly are and what we allow now we didn't used to allow. Used to be, when I was a kid, people didn't talk the way they talk now. The language has changed. We've become used to coarseness. We've become used to vulgarity. Didn't used to be that way. But society is going down, down, down. Superfluity of naughtiness, the things that we allow now we didn't used to allow. And He says, put that stuff away from you and receive with meekness. That means, listen, I ain't nothing. God's everything. I need what God has for me. He said, receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. He says, now get this, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Deceiving, don't miss this, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If you just sit and hear it and you don't take what God's given you and do anything with it, you're lying to yourself by thinking you're doing yourself any good by sitting in church. If you don't ever take what you've got here and do anything with it, you're deceiving yourself. God never intended for us to just hear it, and that's it. He said, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, or a man looking in the mirror at himself. For he beholdeth himself. See, when the preaching's going on, when the Bible's being taught, a person can see what they really are. They can see themselves as they truly are. You know, the Bible talks about preaching. The Bible describes it as the foolishness of preaching. And when I first read that, I thought, why would God call preaching foolishness. Well, to think that we get dressed and come up here and sit down for somebody to tell us how bad we are for 45 minutes an hour, it kind of seems foolish if you think about it. Well, I won't come have you tell me how lousy I am. Listen, but the truth of it is, God designed it that way. That's the way God designed it for us. Preaching has to be negative because, listen, we are sinners, and we need to realize how much we need God. That's why he said reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Those three things, reproving and rebuking, are getting chewed out. Exhorting's being built back up. So two-thirds of all preaching's got to be negative. But if we don't let, I mean, listen, that's just kind of like getting in trouble when you're a kid. You get chewed out. You might get a little discipline, but when it's all over, hopefully you get your neck hugged and told, hey, I love you, and that's why I done that, right? Hopefully. I can't say that's the way it was with you. I don't know how it was with you. Maybe you just got whooped and that was the end of it. But if it's done right, listen, that'll be a hug at the end of it. I love you. I didn't want to have to put that hurt on you, but it's because I love you that I done it. That's what God's talking about, exhorting. He's going to chew us out. He's going to rip us apart. Then he's going to put us back together and tell us how to do right. So it's not enough just to hear it. Listen, I can tell you right now, I can't tell you how many times I've had to get on to my children about the very same thing. I'll give you one that ain't even bad. Turn off a light when you ain't in the room. I don't like to pay high electric bills, y'all. No. Ain't nothing worse to me. Listen, ain't nothing worse to me than my kids all be gone somewhere. They gone, all of them gone to grandma's house. And I walk back to the other end of the house, and I look in there, and the fan's turning in that room. I look in this room, there's two fans going in this one. There's two fans going in this one. And walk in the bathroom, well, the skylight's got a light beaming down through it, and the light's still on. Ain't nobody been there in 2 days. Go back in the bathroom. Both lights on in the bathroom. Ain't nobody been there in a day. And everything's back there's on. And how many times have I said, if you ain't in that room, turn it off. Now, they heard me. Because you know what they said? Yes, sir. But they didn't do it. You know why? Because they don't care. They don't care. If they cared, you know what they'd do? They'd say, oh, I'm leaving. I got to turn the light off. But they don't care. Amen. See, y'all know, y'all getting in trouble in church. Isn't that terrible? Telling everybody what y'all do. But that's how we do. We sit in church, and God's word tells us, hey, you're wrong about that. God doesn't like that about your life. God wants you to do it differently. God wants you, instead of you trying to handle yourself and you being selfish and you caring about you and nobody else, God wants you to come to him, get strength from him, let him live through you and care about somebody else besides yourself. And you say, uh-huh, yeah, okay, amen. And you go on right back and do the thing the same way you did it before. You're hearers but not doers. And he said, you're lying to yourself. He said, you know, and if you're a hearer and not a doer, he said, you're like a man looking in the mirror. He said, and for he beholdeth himself, he sees how he is, and then he goes his way, and straightway or immediately forgetteth what manner of man he was. If you just sit in church and say, and you go back out here, and you don't go to God with it and say, Lord, I see where I'm wrong, and Lord, I want you to give me victory. I want you to give me power in my life. And the very next time that the devil tries to trip you up, you go to God and say, Lord, this is what we talk. That's what you were showing me in church. Lord, I don't want to fall down again. Give me strength. And you're talking to God all the way through it. You'll get victory over it. But if you don't apply anything you get in church, you are fooling yourself. And you're never going to be anything more than what you are right now if you don't become a doer of what you hear. But, he says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, which is the word of God, and continueth therein, not just, oh, okay, that sounds good, uh-huh, blah, 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 and on about their business, but continues to seek God in everything they do, continue to read God's word, to hear from him, not just on Sunday when the preacher reads it, but that they get in it on Monday and let God talk to them personally on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and continue to meet with God every day. Maybe you're not there for 3 hours, but you're there for 10 minutes or 15 minutes, however long you set aside time that you and God sit down and you talk to him in prayer and he talks to you in the Bible. The Bible said if you do that, The Bible said, and being not a forgetful hearer. You know why? Because you're reminding yourself constantly. He said, but a doer of the work. And the more you read it, the more you understand what God's word says for you to do with your life and how you're to live your life, and you're trusting him for the power to get it done. The Bible says that man shall be blessed in his deed. God will bless him. You want God's blessing in your life? I do. You want God's blessing in your life? Then you got to realize, listen, he made you. You're not your own. You're not a self-made man, self-made woman. If it weren't for him, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't have a world to be in. And he gave you, provided you a Savior, salvation through Jesus' blood. Understanding all that, then we ought to want him to bless us. We ought to want him to give us victory over our trials of life. But he said, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not, deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion's in vain. It's empty. It's empty. He said, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. If you want to know what it means, that's truly right there what it is. It's to give of yourself to others who can't do for themselves. You give of yourself and you care about somebody else that nobody else cares about, and you make sure that you don't allow the world to creep into your life and take your fellowship of God with God away. That's what it means to be a believer. That's what it means to walk as a Christian. You care about others more than yourself. You get the selfishness out of your life, and you seek to walk in a way that's pleasing so your relationship with God stays strong. And you lean on him for that strength. You can't do any of it on your own. You gotta humble yourself and realize you are a very, very needy individual. Jesus said in John 13:13 through 17, he said, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. He said, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Now that's the verse I wanted to hit on. He said, first of all, he said, you call me Master and Lord. That's great. He said, I am your Master and Lord. But he said, I've given you an example. I've showed you that your life is not to be about you. Your life's to be about others. That's why he said you wash one another's feet. In other words, you encourage one another to walk with God. You encourage one another to stay out of sin. You encourage one another to live a righteous life. You do that. Listen, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. We're not more important than God. Listen, we're not to live our lives for us. We're to live our lives for others. Jesus Christ, he didn't come down to this earth and live in a great big mansion somewhere and expect everybody to cater to him. No, he didn't even have a home to live in. He didn't have anywhere to lay his head except where he found to lay his head. He didn't live his life as some rich, wealthy guy. He could have had it all. He left heaven. He had all that in heaven. He came to this earth and he was born in a horse stall behind a little roadside motel and placed in a feed trough amongst the manure and hay. I mean, listen, he wasn't no important person as far as his lifestyle here on earth. No, he lived his life humbly following his Father's will. And that's the way God intends for us to do it as well. And he said, verily, verily, again, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. It's not just about hearing it. It's about doing something with what you heard. Stay awake, follow me. It's about doing something with what you heard. We can sit and listen to anything. But do we do anything with what we hear? I mean, you can take a college class and sit through it and never do anything with what you got. There's plenty of people got degrees they never use. What's the point in getting one if you ain't going to do nothing with it? And what's the point of reading the Bible if you're not going to do anything with it? What's the point of hearing a sermon if you're not going to do anything with it? What's the point of praying a prayer you don't expect an answer to? Ephesians 4, 17 through 32, he said, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth," now listen, "that ye henceforth from this point on walk not," or live your life not, "as the other Gentiles walk," or live their life, "in the vanity of their mind," in their empty-headed ways, "having the understanding darkened," they don't understand nothing about God, "being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." He's talking about this lost and dying world out here around us that don't know nothing about God, don't want to know nothing about God, could care less. He's saying, do not live your life the way they live theirs. But yet that's what so many Christians do. We just assimilate right into the rest of the world. That's the way everybody else is. We don't want to be a weirdo. We don't want anybody looking at us like we're something wrong with us because we do things God's way. So peer pressure puts pressure on people to be just like everybody else. Again, broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. See that straight and narrow gate we talked about? It's hard to get through because Jesus is the only way in. It's tight at the neck. But boy, when you get through it, it opens on up. He said that they're ignorant because of the blindness of their heart. They don't have Jesus. They cannot see. And he said, we shouldn't walk like that. He said, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. That means all kinds of wickedness. To work all uncleanness with greediness. That means, listen, not only do they do filthy things, but man, they want to do more filthy things. If they could find ways to do more filthy things, they'd do more filthy things. He said, but you've not so learned Christ. I thought that was kind of interesting, that learned Christ. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And that what this whole thing got started at? Getting to know Jesus? Learn of me? He said, if you live like God don't matter, you ain't learning nothing. But yet so many people, they're worldly to the bone. There's no godly standards in their life at all. There's no limits. There's no borders. There's no fences. It's whatever I want to do. You're living as if God don't matter. You're living as if you don't have an obligation to God because he saved you to live for him. He said, you've not so learned Christ. If so be you've heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. He said that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. You get rid of the old you. You get the old you out of your life. The old you ain't going to do any good for you. He said it's corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Your lusts lie to you and deceive you and drag you back into your old lifestyle away from what God has showed you and how he's led you. He said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You've not learned Christ. That's not who Christ is. He said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man. That's the new creature that God has created in you. The Holy Ghost of God moved into you. And when you got saved and you're a new creature on the inside, you have a spirit of God living inside of you. He brought your spirit to life. He said you to put on that and walk in that, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And I'm gonna move on from that because I'm going to run out of time. So he said we're to hear it and we're to do it. But I want you to understand something. See, we talked about that house, and we're going to finish up this thought about these two houses in a minute. But there's the first house. And the Bible says that it was built upon a rock, founded upon a rock. I mean, this house was built. And then there's the second house. And it wasn't built upon a rock. It was built upon sand. And there are trials that are going to come. And those houses are representing our lives. Okay? That's what those houses are. That's my life, your life, your life, your life. Are you listening to me? Are you listening? Those houses are going to be hit with rain. This morning, coming to pick everybody up this morning, I couldn't go down this road, couldn't go down that road because water's over the road because we had such a big rain last night, heavy storms, as if God was just reemphasizing what I was going to preach on this morning. fact that I couldn't even go down Highway 271 this morning because there's water over the road. Couldn't even get through there. Those storms, the rain, the wind, it's there to represent the trials of life, the testings that we go through. And God telling us we're going to go through trials in this life. That's I started off talking about Job this morning. Job was a good man. If we step back, we knew Job, we step back and say, now, wait a minute, Job. This shouldn't be happening to you. You're saved. You're a good man. You love the Lord. You're the best man anybody can find. Why would God let this happen to you? We wouldn't understand it if we looked at it. But God said, if we know what God's word says, we understand that God allows these trials to come our way. And it's only for one reason, and that is to prove to those around us what we are resting upon. Mark chapter 4, turn over there. We're almost at the end of this, believe it or not. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Verse 35. I said there'll be trials. There'll be rain. There'll be wind. Verse 35, Mark chapter 4, and the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was into the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? We're closed. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now listen to me. There's something to be saw right there. God allows our house or our ship or whatever you want to call it, a vessel of our life, to be hit with storms. I mean, you think about it, he's in that ship in the middle of the sea. His disciples are in that ship. Jesus himself, and I mean, everything's going on. Chaos is going on. Don't you realize we have him in our ship? This is the boat right here. You're looking at my boat. That's your boat, Ronnie. That's your boat. That's your boat. That's your boat. These bodies we have, these are our boats, amen? And if we're saved, Jesus is in the boat with us. And the wind and the waves and the rain and the trials and the lightning and the thunder and the tornadoes are going to come. But we're not to fall apart. We're not to freak out and get scared and say, God don't love me. God ain't going to help me. He ain't going to leave you. He's not going anywhere. He's here to take you through it. He's here to look to. He's here to lean on. He's here to trust. God, listen, you're going to go through those storms whether you have God or not, period. You're going to go through storms. Life is full of trouble. Man's days, the Bible says, are few and full of trouble. John 16:33 says, Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Not in this world, but in me. He said, in the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Again, he said to him, why is it you have no faith? Why won't you trust me? Why don't we panic? Why don't we fall apart? Why don't we say, oh, what are we going to do? Jesus said, I'm with you. I'm not going anywhere. I can calm the seas. I can calm the waves. I can make the wind hush. If your life is built upon that rock, you need not fear. If we have him as our foundation, I've seen, y'all have seen them videos where, like in California, where they're having like mudslides and things, or where a river gets out of its banks and starts eroding the bank, and some great big house is built on the side of a river or something, and it just eats away and eats away, and you see that great big two-story house that's huge and nice, somebody spent hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of dollars on, and that thing just goes crunch right off in that river, and it falls to pieces, and everything in it's ruined. Somebody's whole house that they spent all that time building and preparing, and their life's in it, everything they've got's in it, right off in the river, gone. That's the way somebody's life is when they don't have Christ. You see, again, to get back to our text, he said, I will liken him, whoever hears these sayings and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Not upon the side of some loosely packed hill, but on a rock. He is our foundation. The Bible says he's our only foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:10-11 says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. He's talking about I gave you Christ, and somebody else is teaching you how to build on that foundation. He said, but let every man take heed, or pay attention, how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, that which is Jesus Christ. He is the one foundation. He is the rock of our salvation. Acts 4:11-12 says, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. The Jews rejected him, in other words, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Listen to me. He is our foundation. Everything before he came into our life, that is null and void. It's done. It's over. It wasn't no good. Listen, once Jesus came in, from that point forward, we build upon his foundation that he laid in our life. And if we build our life upon that foundation, our life is solid, our life is secure, and God will bless our life. But listen to me, if you don't have him, if you're trying to build your, you know why people, you know, you think to yourself, why would anybody try to build a house on sand? I remember years ago we used to go to a camp meeting down in Mount Enterprise, Texas. And they built a big church building there. And you know what they done? They didn't pour no foundation. It's on a sandy hill. And they built that thing on sand. They laid the carpet on top of the sand inside of there. You know what happened? They'd get a big rain. It'd wash out. That carpet would sink down in there. They'd have a big old hole in the floor. Eventually, they had to pump concrete in there to lay them a foundation. They ought to know better. They read the Bible. They'd know better than done that. Really don't understand why they did, but that's neither here nor there. But, oh, I'll tell you what, the reason people build a house on sand, they get in too big a hurry. They try and do it themselves. They're trying to seem religious with their works. Religion will take you to hell. Jesus will take you to heaven. You're getting too big. You want to grow up too fast. Kids, listen to me. You get this idea, you got to grow up fast. You got to do something fast with your life. I'm going to tell you something. You need you before you spend all your time trying to grow up and have something before you even got the maturity to handle it, get to know God. He'll mature you. God will grow you up. God will grow you up into something that's solid. You try to do it without him. You try to do it with anywhere other than on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're trying to do anything in your life and you don't have him as the solid foundation under it, it is going to fall. It will not last. Nothing in this world lasts except what's built upon the rock of Christ. And that's it. That's the truth. Every man-made organization at some point had a beginning and some point will have an end. Everything. The only thing that will last forever is the Lord's church, because it's built upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ. now. I want to say this morning, again, I'm not trying to preach anybody lost that's saved, but I want you to ask yourself, and not don't worry about what I said about me. Don't worry about what others think about themselves. What does God think about you? That's really what matters. Are you building your life on Jesus Christ? I mean, are you truly building your life? Are you coasting? Are you just coasting through life, doing things the way you want to do them? Are you truly seeking God's approval in your life? First of all, are you saved? Do you know for sure, are you 100% sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that if death came to your life today and ended it, and it can, we may get in a vehicle, pull out on the highway and get hit by something and die. Your heart may just stop. They may drop a nuke on us. Who knows? They've been talking about it. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen between now and next time we get together? Maybe somebody in this room won't be here anymore. And if that happened to you, and by the way, say, well, I'm young. That ain't going to happen to me. There's young people dies every day. There's babies that die. You ain't guaranteed anything. But if something were to happen to you between now and the time we get back together, are you going to be in God's presence? Do you know that for sure? Or are you just hoping that works out that way? Because I'm going to tell you right now, you better know for sure. Because that's serious and it's real. You can't coast along behind mom and dad. You can't coast along behind the preacher. You can't coast behind anybody. You and only you will answer for your relationship with God or lack of one. I wonder today, has God shown you anything for this Sermon on the Mount? Because I'm going to tell you right now, He's certainly shown me that I need Him more than I ever knew I needed Him. I'm hungry for Him. I yearn for God in my life. I know that there are a lot of things I could do better. There's a lot of things I could do that I don't do. And I want to please Him. I want to do those things. He's shown me that. Has He shown you? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, I thank You this morning. I thank You this morning for my salvation. Lord, I didn't deserve anything but to be punished for my sin. And Lord, You were so merciful, so loving, so kind, and so gracious. And You provided for me the Savior, Jesus Christ, my Lord. And Lord, You washed my sins away, and they were vile, but they're gone. And Lord, I want to live a life that reflects to other people that Jesus lives in me. Because, Lord, I realize it's not about me, it's about others. Lord, I pray again that You jar us awake spiritually. That You make us come to realize that this life is not about us for our pleasure and for our benefit. It's for others. Lord, help us to live for others. And Lord, in doing so, Lord, I pray, Father, you lead someone else to bless us and help us as we live for others. Father, I pray that Lord, you give us, Lord, of Yourself when we come to Your Word. Lord, when we read it, Father, I pray You make Your presence real to us. When we pray, Lord, hear our prayer, Father. Answer our prayer. Show us Yourself. Lord God, I just plead with You, Lord. It burdens me so, Lord, to think that someone might sit in here and listen, and, Lord, that they might not hear it. Lord God, please make us hearers of the Word. Father, bless us now as we get ready to leave from here and go to our homes. Lord, teach us to walk this week, Lord, in such a manner that we're eagerly anticipating what You're going to do in our life next. Lord, teach us to walk in such a way that, again, that others see that we have a purpose. And, Lord, that we live our lives in such a manner to be careful to honor You with it. Lord God, I pray, Father, You forgive us of our failures. Forgive us of our sin. Cleanse our sin from our life. Teach us, Lord, to do it right. Lord God, please help us. We need You so much. Father, I pray, Lord, for not only for these that are under the sound of my voice in this room, but, Lord, for each and every one who will hear this message, Lord, on the internet, Lord, either today or in the days to come, Father, I pray, Lord, that it have that, Lord, as we, as you say in your word, if we cast our bread upon the waters, it'll return. Father, I pray, Lord, that you said your word doesn't return unto you void. So I pray, Lord, that souls are saved. I pray that lives are changed. I pray that backsliders come home. I pray, Lord, that you work in the lives of prodigals. Lord, I pray for each and every one we've made mention of this morning. I pray for my children who are out of your will. I pray, Lord, for my grandchildren. I pray, Lord, for all of our friends and family. Lord, all those, Lord, that we love and care about. Father, I pray, Lord, for those who are out there in this world who are lost in sin and dying on their way to hell for all eternity. I pray, Lord, for them to turn and come to you and be born again, trust Christ, and have their sins washed away. Lord God, please help us now. We need you in this country. We need you in this day and this hour we live in. And we give you praise and we give you glory. We thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're dismissed.